From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrikan.com.
Professor Rossman Benjamin, how are you, Prof?
Good, it's good to see you again. Good,
because last time we spoke was at the Deep Learning Indaba last year in Ghana, and that was amazing. For our viewers, they want to find out more on that conversation and just find out a little bit more deeper about Prof. Rossman's biography in terms of his academic trajectory and the good work that he does in machine learning and robotics. Check out that specific podcast and interview on iAfrican.com and also on our YouTube channel. Prof, since Ghana in 2023, we're at Indaba X. It's going to be an AI festival later on this evening. You just introduced the keynote speaker and you're one of the sort of opening speakers. What are the sort of interesting things that have intrigued you in the AI machine learning space thus far?
Right, well, welcome to VITS. And yeah, there's a lot going on. It's a very exciting time to be in the space. And, you know, more and more people are piling in. There's new innovations coming out. And I think, you know, what's really exciting to see is the number of new tools that are out there. Yes. You know, we've got all the ChatGPT type things, but it's now so much in the image space, in the video space, in music. And I think it's very cool that we've got this set of tools that anyone can go and play with, try new ideas, regardless of their background, regardless of, you know, if they have any technical knowledge, whatever industry they're in. They can say, hey, I've got an idea. I wonder if AI could help me with this. And it's been very interesting to see how people have started adapting to the way things are changing, to this idea that we've all got these little AI assistants now starting to pop up in our pockets all the time.
So, Professor, you specialize in robotics and machine learning. Now, the buzzwords within the AI space has mostly been, you know, NLPs and large language models. What's happening specifically now in the robotics and machine learning space that we might be, you know, not looking at, or we might not be, you know, focused on now because, you know, the buzzwords are more, you know, language models and so forth?
That's a great question. And we're starting to see things happen there. You know, firstly, LLMs give us this tool to interface with people very naturally. They give us a way to think about maybe a bit of common sense knowledge. And those are useful when they're feeding into robotics. But so is all the hype, so is all the kind of extra money flowing into the space. And already in the last few months, we've started seeing a number of small robotics startups appearing with people saying, hang on, I think AI is at a point where we can do some really interesting stuff in the robotics space that's scalable and maybe ultimately for like the public consumer. And I think we're just at the beginning of that curve where I would guess over the next few years, we're going to see a lot more excitement in robotics. And hopefully in Africa as well, a lot more people diving into the space.
Prof, I was at your robotics lab. It's super awesome. I mean, I saw all the, you know, cool stuff that you guys were working on. I want to know, so earlier on this year, the Boston Dynamics guys came to UJ earlier on in the year. What level are we on to get into, to get like a prototype of some sort, whether it's an arm, whether it's a dog, or I don't know, a robotics, anything, at that level of Boston Dynamics? How far are we from, you know, a prototype of that nature or that advanced?
So what's interesting in robotics is there's all these different angles to it. You know, and I think this is something that makes it an exciting field, but also a difficult field. There's people that work on the hardware and the electronics. There's people that work on the kind of vision aspects. There's people that work on the human-robot interaction pieces. There's people that work on the kind of logic and the grasping and the maneuvering. And all these different things are interesting research projects. And we're seeing a lot of work kind of across the board here. So the kind of work we do specifically on this side is more in the AI side of it. So On the hardware side, what's exciting is that there's many players now, ranging from the Boston Dynamics all the way through to, say, Unitree in China. There's more and more players that are offering really good quality equipment that's like available even if you're sitting in Africa, right? It's affordable, it's robust, you can count on it to do interesting things and not break, which it's taken a while to get to this point, but that opens the door for a lot of us to then be able to focus our attention on things like solving interesting problems with the robot, or getting it to learn new behaviors, or getting it to interact with people in different kinds of ways. And I think with the what's been happening in the hardware space, it's getting to the point where kind of anyone doing research can jump into it. And this is a bit of a game changer, because up until a couple of years ago, if you wanted to be in the robotics space, you had to build something yourself or fork out a huge amount of money to get something imported and so on. But now we're starting to see all these changes, and I think that's what's exciting. So, you know, with the work being done here and at many other universities, we're seeing it looking more and more like those sci-fi type robotics applications that we've always dreamed about.
So, Prof, if I'm hearing you well, to have like a humanoid, right? You have the hardware stuff, which is like, you know, the skeleton and components that actually put together this robot. And then you have the more software side, I'd say. Mm-hmm. The data sets, the AI, sort of, you know, algorithms that would help, you know, what was it called?
Move.
Move, you know. What's the lowest hanging fruit for us as researchers in Africa from a robotics and machine learning? What's the lowest hanging fruit in terms of a point of entry that's quick, where we can be like, okay, cool, this is what we can immediately start doing in terms of commercializing these humanoids or any other robotics?
So this is interesting, because the way things are at the moment, there's a lot of entrance points. Mm-hmm. You might be someone who had a history of working in computer vision, and that was maybe just working on single images. Can I classify something about the image? Well, now we've moved to streams of images. And so, you know, where before you might have said, well, there's the person, now there's a problem of, can I track the person moving? And that would be useful if I want to follow the person or I want to interact with the person. So there's vision aspects. There's then the whole language aspect. You want to now communicate with these people. What should you say? How should you communicate? We've got all the whole African language aspect that comes in there. If you've been interested, as my group works, in kind of decision making, that's an obvious thing to do on a robot. How do you get it to decide where to move, how to move, how to pick up certain objects or hand them over and that sort of thing. So I think there's a lot of access points from the technical side. And then there's also a lot of these kind of access points from applications. And this is what I'm excited to see over the next few years, is where people make these connections. How are we going to start deploying lightweight robots into SMMEs, into agriculture, into all these kinds of industries that can just maybe streamline certain processes, help businesses scale? Hopefully that means they end up employing more people. They can reach out to different markets, that kind of thing. I think this is very cool, because we're now at the point in robotics where machine learning was maybe a decade ago, where these kind of widely accessible tools were just starting to come out and people could start trying out new ideas quite easily without having to build the entire infrastructure stack from like the bottom up.
Prof, you are a professor in machine learning and robotics. Now, in your opening remarks, you said something very, very important about Africa's largest hub of AI researchers. This is now the AI Institute. Tell us more about that. What is the AI Institute? How is it going to be composed? Is it going to be at WITS? What is it going to be doing?
Okay, so we've got this huge collection of researchers here at WITS, mainly sitting in computer science and applied maths, but branching out to other departments. We've got a number of big research labs. We have many hundreds of postgraduate students now doing research in AI. And I think there's a few interesting aspects there to pay attention to. The whole African AI ecosystem has changed a lot over the last few years. I mean, it's really flourishing at the moment. But I think that there's some gaps. And the most notable gap is we need to be focusing more, not as the whole community, but some aspects of the community. We need to put more effort into thinking about fundamental questions. And what I mean there is that, you know, there's a lot of interesting African problems that we should be solving. There's a lot of non-interesting African problems we should be solving as well. And that's really critical, but we should also be innovating on the technology here. I don't like this idea that Africa's just consuming techniques that are built in other places, right? This is a conversation that should be open to everybody. And in fact, if we want models that are safe, we want them to be efficient, we want them tailored to the kinds of things we're looking at here. I don't think in many cases the right approach is take something from somewhere else and tweak it a little bit. I think there's many kinds of problems that we should be innovating from the ground up. And so this has always been the kind of focus we think about here at WITS. Now, we're in the process of launching an AI institute here at WITS that's meant to be taking this to the next level. What we're trying to do is bring together critical mass based at WITS, but we're going to be bringing in people from all across the continent as well to think about deeper questions. And the angle we're taking here is that we're not just interested in artificial intelligence, but also natural intelligence. And so this kind of collective is now including people from philosophy, from psychology, from behavioral science, from evolutionary science, from all these different backgrounds, whether it's neuroscience and anatomy, looking at the brain specifically, or these behavioral questions or policy questions around this. But everybody that's got some sort of a different lens on how we think about intelligence, whether it's in humans, whether it's in animals, whether it's in machines, or the interfacing between all of these, we believe it's really important to bring all these people together to, again, form a critical mass that is trying to shape the next generation of tools that's being built here in Africa.
And then is it going to mostly be focused for postgraduate studies or undergrad? If you could just make me understand when it comes to the sort of what level of intelligence are you going to have academics?
In fact, we're basing this now mainly on academics, to get the academics to be interfacing together. But that just forms the core. Then there's all the students that are working with those academics. There's hopefully we'll be connecting up to things like the WITS Innovation Center, which is what's driving a lot of our innovation pipelines and startups and that sort of thing. And then tying up to other things like industry, other universities as well. I would love to see over the next few years a few of these kinds of hubs developing in different parts of Africa that are really trying to contribute meaningfully to the kind of more fundamental, foundational questions in the field.
Prof, we've got a new government of national unity. We've just announced a Minister of Education. The Minister of Basic Education talked about overhauling the education curriculum. In your advice, specifically, I think when it comes to mathematics and science, what would you like to see more happening from a basic education in regards to maths and science that would enable the beautiful work at a high education level in terms of AI, robotics, and machine learning? What would make your life easier as academics in terms of the throughput of, from basic education to higher education?
It's a great question. You know, we know here in South Africa, and in fact in Africa generally, we're capable of really producing really, really good students with really strong mathematical backgrounds. And I think this certainly happens in pockets all across the continent. Now, what we need to do is scale that, because we're also very aware that this is not happening in many other places. And I think we need to critically look at why that's the case, what's happening, is there something wrong with the way we're administrating everything? Is there something wrong with the way we're training people? But very likely we're not giving a lot of teachers enough support to do their jobs properly. You know, I think building strong foundations is so critical, because that opens doors for students later on in life, right? It doesn't matter what they want to do, but they should be able to be driven by their passion rather than, oh, I'm terrible at something, so those doors are closed to me. And, you know, I feel working in the space that every student's got the potential to excel at something like mathematics. Typically what we find is when they don't, in many cases it's because they're maybe not interested, and that's typically because they've never been shown why they should be interested. Everybody is capable of these things if they're motivated in the right way, if it connects up to something else they're passionate about. And I think in many cases, because of a variety of reasons, from the pressures put on teachers to the way certain things are rushed, to, again, the kind of quality of support many teachers receive, I think students aren't able to connect with the concepts being taught to them at a more fundamental level. They're just shown things and told you need to know this to pass a test or something. And even hopefully using some sort of AI tools, I wouldn't go crazy and just dump it all over the place, but I think there's ways that we could be strategic about how to support teachers so they can spend that little bit of time, rather than doing maybe some of the mundane things, to actually engage with students and help them find their passion. Right? We know this is possible. We need more investment into this space. We really need to double down on how important education is. Right? This is the cornerstone of everything. Right? If you want to succeed in things, you need those tools. You need these kind of You need to be equipped to handle whatever life's going to throw at you, to be able to come up with crazy ideas and push them to crazy places, right? This is what we've got to equip our students with. And I think, like, we should be able to do this. We know we can do it. What we don't know how to do is scale it.
Prof, as always, lovely conversation, wealth of knowledge.
Thank you so much. Thanks this so is much always more. So much fun.
<That's> it, <yeah. laughs>
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.